Being a faithful Macy's shopper, my mom receives all kinds of advertisements from Macy's during the year, but especially during this time period. I noticed that the Macy's advertising has had this word on most of their covers, believe. Well, that's a good word, especially as we're preparing for Christmas, but then one has to ask, especially coming from Macy's, believe in what? Or better, question would be, believe in whom? What is the belief all about? Sadly, we know that there are many people in this time period between what they call Black Friday and all the way up through Christmas, and I've already received the day after Christmas sale notice and so on, who focus on all of that and they miss the Christ. They miss the Mass. They miss Christmas. So my brothers and sisters, as we celebrate this fourth Sunday of Advent, and in just a few days we gather to celebrate Christmas, we have to affirm that we believe in the Incarnation, that Jesus Christ, true God, second person of the Holy Trinity, consubstantial with the Father, entered this world becoming also true man. The Catechism states, belief in the true incarnation is the distinctive sign of the Christian faith. So our gospel on this fourth Sunday takes us to the beautiful scene of the Annunciation. Archangel Gabriel appears to our Blessed Mother. He says, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." Archangel Gabriel is recognizing that our Blessed Mother is full of grace and really showing, teaching that from the very first moment of her life, from her Immaculate Conception, she was free from all sin, even the stain of original sin. She had been prepared by Almighty God for this very moment. And so, the Archangel Gabriel, in answer to Mary's question, "How can this be?" says, "You will conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit, and through you, Jesus Christ will enter this world, true God becoming true man." Mary said, "Yes, be it done unto me according to thy word." So my brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ entered this world, true God becoming true man, becoming one like us, in all things but sin. He came, therefore, to perfectly reveal God's truth and love to us and to raise our dignity as a human being to something greater than even Adam and Eve had been given at their creation. He came to offer the perfect sacrifice for sin, to reconcile all sinners, and by his resurrection, to give us the hope of everlasting life. This is what we believe in. With that, though, we have to be on guard. Because in our technological age, in an age of great science, there would be many skeptics. And there might be people that we know, maybe even our own family, that say, "How do you know this? Prove it." Well, we have to do some thinking if we really want to prove this. And really, it's all about faith, a gift of faith. But nevertheless, what could we say in response to someone says, "How? Prove it. Show me." Well, we could start by saying Jesus was expected. He was pre-announced. If we go to the Jewish scriptures, we know that Isaiah the prophet, for instance, 600 years before our Lord, prophesied, "The virgin shall be with child and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," meaning God is with us. Micah prophesied, "From Bethlehem will come a ruler of the house and lineage of King David. He will shepherd Israel." Jeremiah prophesied, "The Messiah will bear our infirmities and endure our sufferings. He will be pierced for our offenses and crushed for our sins, giving his life as an offering for our sins." Yes, the chosen people, the people of the covenant made with Abraham, believed a Messiah would come. Christ fulfills the prophecies. But what about the rest of the world? Now, St. Paul in our passage from Romans gives us a hint that even the Gentiles were expecting a Messiah. For instance, Socrates, so the great teacher of Plato, who lived about 300 years before our Lord, said, "Wait for a wise man who is to come from heaven, who will tell us how we are to conduct ourselves before God and man." The Greek dramatist Aeschylus, in his play Prometheus Bound, has this dialogue between Hermes and Prometheus. Prometheus, who is being chained to this rock, punished for stealing fire from the gods and giving that to man. Hermes says to Prometheus, "Look not for any end to this curse until some god appears to accept upon his head the pangs of your own sins." In the East, Confucius, long before our Lord, wrote in his Morals, "The Holy One must come from heaven, who will know all things and have power over heaven and earth." Buddha said, "I will die. There will come after me one who will be known as Maitreya, which means he whose name is love. He is truth." The Hindu priest prayed, "When will the Savior come? When will the Redeemer appear?" Even later, after our Lord's death and resurrection, the Roman historians recorded these events as follows. Suetonius wrote, "There had spread over all the Orient an old and established belief that it was fated at that time that a man coming from Judea would rule the world." And Tacitus, "There was a firm persuasion that at this time in the East was to grow powerful a ruler coming from Judea, where he would gain a universal empire." So even the pagans had a notion that a Messiah would come, a God would appear. Now consider this. Only Jesus in all of history was expected. Only he was pre-announced. Muhammad wasn't. Charles Taze Russell, who founded the Jehovah Witnesses, wasn't. Ron Hubbard, who founded Scientology, wasn't. Joseph Smith, who founded Mormonism, wasn't. Only Jesus was pre-announced. Only he was expected. Moreover, look at how he was received. When our Lord was born, shortly after, King Herod tries to kill baby Jesus. Why? Who would want to kill a baby? What's a baby going to do? Herod knew what this baby would do. Has anyone else ever been killed as a baby for what they would do later in life? Think how different our world would have been if with some foreknowledge we would have been able to eliminate baby Hitler, or baby Stalin, baby Mao, baby Mohammed, baby Osama bin Laden. Our world would have been totally different. But only Christ after his birth was sought to be destroyed. But then take it even a step further. Only Christ came at his birth to offer a sacrifice of himself. Only Christ. No one else came purposely to offer himself as a sacrifice for others, for everyone else, and reconcile them back to God. We'll take it one step further. Think of the fruits that have occurred because of this birth and death and resurrection of our Lord. He founded a church. Jesus founded the church. It's still here. So even if we take the church back to the time of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles, or take it back to the call of the apostles and when Jesus made Peter the first pope, or take it even back to the incarnation, the church continues on. Yes, we faced persecution, schism, heresy, and you and I well know our own personal, individual human frailty and sinfulness, and yet the work of the church goes on. It wouldn't be here if Christ isn't the divine Messiah, the Son of God incarnate. Moreover, look at the saints. How many great saints have done such incredible good work, not for a paycheck, not for a kingdom of this world, just out of the love of Christ. In our own times, I think of Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta or Saint John Paul II. Look at what they did. They didn't do it for glory, for a paycheck, for a kingdom of this world. They did it out of the love of God. If it weren't true, why would anyone have done that? And we think, too, of the good that the church has given to this world. If any of you are still looking for a Christmas present to give to someone, I would recommend this book, How the Catholic Church Built Western Civilization. A great read. It's because of what Christ did, who he is, that we have the Western civilization through his church. So my brothers and sisters, I know this sounds a little all academic, but that's important because so many people we meet, whether it's in the workplace, school's out, but at school, or even within our own families, dismiss the idea of Jesus. They just dismiss the idea of church. Where would we be without it? Where would we be without Jesus? And so, on this fourth Sunday, you and I have to pray for the grace of God to be like Mary and say, yes, I really do believe. I believe in who Christ is and what he has done for me as my Savior, as my Lord, the one who gave life. Yes, we have to believe with that same fervent conviction. If anything's blocking that belief, cast it aside, whether by doing some good research or by praying or going to confession. The one thing that blocks us from that full-hearted yes, that belief, is sin. Because so oftentimes we can become comfortable with sin and then we start rationalizing it. And just like the dedicated criminal, we blame everybody else because of our sin. Go to confession. If you haven't been to confession this Advent, Monday night, Tuesday night, we'll have confession. Make peace with our Lord and come to that full yes conviction. Secondly, be prepared to be the messenger. And so like the Archangel Gabriel was the good messenger, we too have to be the messenger of what Christmas is all about. We could say yes to the whole world, saying Merry Christmas, defending our faith. That's wonderful, beautiful, important. But what about our family? Because you and I well know there are those who don't remember that Christmas is about Christ and Mass and church. So let us be the good messengers to show that yes, we really believe. And because we believe, we want others to believe. And then we'll truly know the love and joy that our Lord offers us this Christmas. May God bless you.